God's sake.
Again?
I don't know what the hell is going on. Hey, you know, we're trying to do a show here.
Hiya, Uncle Milt. Hiya, Uncle Mark.
Timmy.
Oh, for the love of...
Oh, hi. We're kinda in the middle of a show, buddy. But, who's your friend there?
Uncle Milt, Uncle Mark, meet my Gammy. She's a big fan of Fusebox and wanted to meet you fellas.
Hello, hello, hello. Oh, I just adore your show.
Fusebox is the... Right, Gammy?
It sure is, Timmy. It sure is.
Oh, well, hello there.
Hi.
Come on in. Come on in.
Yeah.
We're glad you enjoy the show. Timmy here is...
Oh, I do just love your show. It's hot as balls.
Well, that's just grand. Thank you, Gammy. We appreciate that very much. Thank you. It's so nice that
Fusebox is the... That's, I tell ya. And Mark and Milt here are the funniest ever.
They sure are, Timmy. They sure are.
Folks... You know, I hate to, you know, interrupt here, but...
Yeah, see, we were just starting a new show when you dropped by, so...
Oh, dear. Of course, of course.
Gee whiz, Uncle Milt and Uncle Mark. I should have called first. I'm sorry. Golly, I really stepped on my... didn't I, Gammy?
You sure did, Timmy. You sure did.
Well... It's okay. It's okay, really. We're happy you came by and that
I really am sorry. Gee, is there some way I can make it up to you fellas?
Well, I know. Well, how would you like to get in the booth, Gammy, and cut some liners for the show?
Bro, we might want to talk about...
Wow! Really, Uncle Mark?
Oh, how exciting!
Wow, just like a real DJ, Gammy.
Yeah. Here. Just step into the booth here. Yeah, that's it. Now, we'll just put on these headphones so you can hear us talking to you from outside the booth. There you go. Perfect. Now, here's the script we want you to read.
How exciting!
Now, all you have to do is read this line and do what we call an ABC read, okay? Just say the line three different ways all in a row. You can even do an accent or a funny voice or sort of an ad lib if you want, whatever. You know, just have fun with it. So I'll just close the door here to keep the sound out, and you can start whenever you're ready, Gammy. Okay?
So exciting. Here I go. TheFuseBoxShow.com. It's the show for, everybody. But maybe not everybody won't, like it. Was that okay?
That was pretty close, Gammy. Now just have some fun with the next two.
TheFuseBoxShow.com. It's the...
Fusebox.
You know what? Gammy wasn't half bad, bro. This is Fusebox 281, the Great Inflator. And you are so full of hot air
that I'm about to burst. And speaking of hot, flatulent air.
Oh, you wait till you're 80 going on dead. You left-wing Antifa-tard hippie Democrat, fake podcast loser. Everything I say is the truth. Such beautiful truth. Nobody knows more about truth than I do. Nobody. The most truthful president in history. I invented truth, you know. People don't know that because they're stupid. So stupid. Hugely stupid. And you don't know this, but in the time I've been wasting talking with you, I have single-handedly stopped 11 D12 and a half different wars. So many wars. Huge wars. Bigly. You anti-Trumpers are all the same. You're probably from a country in the Midwest, like Wyoming. You can't fool Trump. Nobody knows fools like Trump knows fools. And let me tell you what I tell you with my telling of what I tell you. My big, beautiful tariffs will fix you. Love the tariffs. Ow! What's going on here? Anyway, I feel swollen and bloated like a rotting orange corpse in the desert. Ow! I probably shouldn't have had that last half dozen cheeseburgers. So many cheeseburgers. So much special sauce. Eww. What was that? Oh, that doesn't sound good. I hope my presidential diaper holds. It's getting hard to... What the Benghazi... emails! Voter fraud! Epstein files! Fake news! Grab him by the... So much bloatation! Get Bannon on the line! Where's Boebert? Is Boebert out giving free hand jobs again? Is Epstein still dead? Get Kristi Noem! Fake election! Sleepy Joe! Oh, I can't hold it! Fake Obama! Oh, the humanity team!
Yeesh. What a stinky, putrid, self-serving, orange, demented mess.
Bro, is that his toupee on the top of the refrigerator? His spleen, maybe?
Actually, I think that's his diaper.
Ugh, dude. He splattered himself along the baseboards and in the toilet. Where he belongs, actually.
And hello, friends. Welcome in to this, the 281st edition of your old audio pal, Fusebox, accurately titled The Great Inflator, with your seemingly civil, in spite of the rusty, chipped, and blood-stained machete, host Mark Rose here, and right over there, from right over here, plumply pumped up, with no place to blow.
No, I'm big bone.
The emperor of empirical equalization, Milt Keynes, everybody.
Thank you most kindly. So, what'd you think of Donnie Hitler's MAGA successful 250th celebration?
MAGA successful. I saw what you did there. Well, sir, the throngs of folks enjoying America's 250th birthday were impressive for sure. It's just too bad they weren't actually at his celebration.
Yeah, with the heatstroke-friendly setup Don the Con had going on there, it's no wonder nobody showed up.
Yeah, and with the fake impressive corny cardboard Arc de Trump there with pieces flaking off and winking in the sun... Oh, and those papier-mâché booths with no air conditioning.
A disaster before it even happened.
Yeah, and there were a couple of near-fatal incidents, like that huge lighting grid falling onto the stage right behind some dancers. Holy carp.
Yeah, too bad there wasn't anyone in the audience to see it, though.
Exactly. And did you see that photo of that duo performing where you could clearly see in the reflection of the guy's glasses that they were playing to absolutely no one? It's just...
Yeah. Bro, you and I both know what that feels like, right? I felt bad for the folks performing, but to have nobody showing up at that fat orange fascist crappy shindig... was the best thing ever to show that loser. No one wants any part of his corny, cheap, and lame self-promoting bullcrap.
True. You know what? No one has ever had such a disastrous turnout for a 4th of July celebration in the history of this country. That's so embarrassing.
More embarrassing than that time he rolled tanks through the streets of D.C. like some third world dictator?
As bad as that was, I think it was a standing room only crowd compared to this flop. His tank parade definitely caused more property damage, though. And I think it rained then, too.
Yeah, well, it should have had an ice tornado filled with murder hornets carrying flaming hatchets.
One can certainly dream. So, when we return, friends, more musings about Herr Trump's regime of losers and how they are all failing spectacularly while losing ground as they plummet downwards, fighting an uphill battle with downwind stink.
Yeah, what he said.
There's something about this whole business that doesn't smell right.
It's a show for everybody, but not everybody will like it. TheFuseBoxShow.com.
Welcome back, friends.
By the way, I like what Gammy cut for us, bro. Might have to use them.
We sure will, Milt. We sure will.
You're the tits, Rose.
I know I am, but what are they? Anyway, friends. It feels like we're all living in a scary new George Orwell novel lately. But coming up, we have some antidotes for that helpless, hopeless feeling, as there are some great things happening out there. And in our segment, Have You Heard the Good News? We'll clue you in on some of them. And we also have a grimy new segment from our buddy 42nd Street Pete and his Grindhouse Minute. This one will delight even you, Mr. Keynes.
Oh, yeah? Old Pete's finally going to review SS Love Camp of the SS?
Well, actually, we already did that one. Remember?
I'm sorry, but you can never see SS Love Camp of the SS, you know?
True enough. But no, this one is another whip classic.
Women in Prison.
Yes, indeedy. From 1972, Hot Box.
Hot Box? Oh, I am so in.
Saw what you did there.
Huh? Oh, right.
But first, the great inflator of the Oval Office has recently made even more outlandish claims.
What? Impossible. Impossible, I say.
Well, Trump continually claims his tariffs, illegally levied, in my opinion, because they have to be approved by Congress, as it is they who control the flow of funds in this republic of ours and not the orange rapist in the White House. Okay?
You know, I think I might actually remember that from my civics class, which was probably the only day I actually attended my civics class.
Oh, I'm sure of that. Anyway, Trump's made these claims that the exporting country must pay this tariff, this tax. Let's call it what it is, right? Now, in some cases, the impacted countries do initially pay Trump's tariffs, but, of course, that increase is immediately passed along to us consumers, right?
Of course it is.
Case in point.
Uh-huh.
Me.
Are you a tariff?
No, but...
Oh, you play one on TV?
But I've been in the market for a Middle Eastern instrument called an oud, which is...
An oud. Oh, right. It's...
Yeah. It's technically a lute-like
right.
instrument, but without frets. And it has 6 or 7 double-course strings, meaning each string has a second string right next to it tuned to the same or an octave apart. Anyway, I've been looking around, and I found a couple of very, really nice instruments, and I was considering... Until I read the fine print.
Here it comes.
Yeah. There is a 15 to 20% tariff on them that the builder of the instrument doesn't see or collect. Instead, it's collected by the shipping exporting company. And that fee can be substantial depending on the price of the instrument, right? So, in short, I'm paying the tariff, not the instrument maker.
Are there tariffs in Utah?
You know what? If Trump had his way, there would be. Anyway, this instrument, this oud, would export out of Amman, Jordan.
Oh, well, there's your problem right there. You need to buy American.
Oh, you know what? I actually tried that. But no, because of the level of quality. See, the folks in the Middle East actually build these instruments by hand. So...
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. The point being, Trump's lying again. We, the consumer, pay the tariffs, not the country. And, at least in this case, they never even see the tariff money. Again, it's collected by a shipping or exporting agent.
No, sir. I didn't like it.
Breathe, big guy. Breathe.
It's maddening that he gets away with this crap and that he's still supported by people who can't afford to live in the Trump world. Well, to hopefully balance all this out, here's a bunch of great things happening on this big blue marble of ours.
Hello. I'm here to bring you the good news.
Here, let me start with something that'll make you all giddy inside, bro. But you gotta promise that this thing won't be your next exotic pet, okay?
I promise nothing. Nothing.
Okay. So, word has it that the world's first giant anteater reintroduction appears to be succeeding. More than 200 giant anteaters now live free in Argentina's Ibera wetlands from a stock of 110 orphaned animals that a group called Rewilding Argentina began releasing in 2007. By the mid-20th century, giant anteaters, locally called Yurumi, had disappeared from the region due to poaching and fires and habitat destruction. The reintroduced anteaters from the 2000s are now self-sustaining and have started attracting wildlife tourists. How about that?
Hopefully, tourists with only cameras for shooting. And keeping in the natural world context, in spite of the U.S. and Canada seeing record wildlife incidents in the past few years, we've had a bunch of them going out here now, the Amazon rainforest just saw its lowest fire year on record, and deforestation has hit a 10-year low. MAP Biomass counted 31,000 kilometers burned in 2025, down from 158,000 kilometers in 2024, and the smallest area since records began in 1985. Meanwhile, satellite data from the space agency INPE shows only 1,295 kilometers cleared in the first half of 2026, a 38% drop year on year.
Bro, that is good news. Next on the agenda, then, should be keeping that orange idiot from setting up an ICE Gestapo detention camp out there. Oh, and speaking of authoritarian lunatics, Viktor Orban's Hungarian state television stopped broadcasting and then apologized for lying. On July 8, 2026, M1 and the Kossuth radio station suspended news output as the government began dismantling the propaganda apparatus that Viktor Orban put up over 16 years ago. The screen carried a plain white-on-black message. Public media must not lie. We apologize for having done exactly that for many years. Public media is now being transformed so that in the future, it will be independent and credible. News service is temporarily suspended. Stay with us.
Now, if we could only do that with our legacy media. In science news, despite what our worm-brained, psychotic health secretary RFK Jr. says about this being a hoax or whatever the hell he's lying about now, the first new tuberculosis vaccine in a century is heading for mass production. India's Serum Institute will manufacture M72 AS01E under an agreement with the Gates Medical Research Institute, investing more than $100 million ahead of the vaccine's approval. TB still kills 1.23 million people a year. World Health Organization estimates a vaccine with this efficacy profile could prevent 76 million cases and save 8.5 million lives over 25 years.
No, no. Vaccines, they don't work. Instead, eat a raw cow head, preferably one found dead on the side of the road. Yeah, you take the severed cow head and steam it for 7 hours, which enhances all of the immunization molecules in the Q zone.
Milt?
I'm on it.
Be sure to shave the cow head first, because if you don't do...
His dad's got to be rolling in his grave. I hope the world's biggest battery maker, CATL or cattle or whatever, just saw what we did there, bro. Because cattle just declared lithium air batteries as its next long-term bet. And if it pays off, the EV range problem is over. Speaking at the 2026 Powering the Nation Forum, Cattle's chief scientist, Wu Kai, named lithium air technology as the company's primary research focus beyond its current sodium ion and solid state work. The reason for this ambition? Theoretical energy density of around 12,000 watt hours per kilogram, roughly the same as petrol, and about 40 times more than today's lithium-ion cells. In a car, that translates to a potential single charge range of 1,600 kilometers or, get this, about 994 miles in a battery pack no heavier than what's already sitting in a Tesla Model 3.
Even though there will be some other manufacturing considerations in this process, I'm sure it's a largely big and gigantically huge step forward and one colossally enormous step closer to getting us off the dead-end train of fossil fuels. And now, let us bask luxuriously in yet another glorious grindhouse minute from 42nd Street Pete, a woman in prison or whip genre fave from 1970s called The Hot Box. Take it away, Pete.
Yeah, but don't take it too far away, if you catch my drift.
Consider your drift caught.
Four American nurses snatched from their work in a foreign hospital.
Horse!
Jumped in the jungle, caught between a kill-crazed revolutionary and a sex-crazed major.
And now it's time for another Grindhouse Minute with 42nd Street Pete.
Okay, another Grindhouse moment, saluting the women in prison genre here, 1972. This one's kind of obscure. It's The Hot Box. It was written partially by Jonathan DeMay and directed by Joe Viola and shot in the Philippines. And this might have been before the Pam Grier stuff or around the same time. Anyway, the main star is Margaret Markoff, who was in this, I believe, Black Mama, White Mama, and The Arena. And after The Arena, she married actor-producer Mark Damone and never did any films again. But in this one, she's one of a bunch of nurses that are in this tropical paradise working for the government. And we get to see the other side of it with these revolutionaries as one kid dies from some, you know, preventable disease. So the nurses are captured by the revolutionaries and given this whole deal about working for nothing, this and that and the other thing. Well, there's a double agent played by Charles Dierkoff, who people will remember from Police Story. He's Garcia. And he basically rescues the nurses, but, you know, doesn't really rescue them because he rapes one of them. And then they are rescued again by the revolutionaries, and there's a battle that's supposed to break out. And from what I understand, I think they use the unit of the Philippine National Guard for the shootout, which is pretty extreme. And the women really find out about a revolution. It sort of ends with the bad guys getting round up and nurses having a whole new attitude on what goes on in these tropical places. So it makes a political statement, as does a couple of these other women in prison films. The action's good. The girls are hot. There's ample nudity, ample violence, enough to keep any grindhouse aficionado entertained.
Stay safe. We'll catch you on the flip side.
This has been another Grindhouse Minute with 42nd Street Pete.
Looks like a whip movie with a side of jungle adventure, yeah?
Yeah, something very much like that. I think The Big Birdcage may have had this kind of story angle, too, and it looks like it's in the same year of production.
You know, there must have been something in the water back then, bro.
Well, as you well know, Mr. Keynes, there most definitely was something in the water back in the 1970s, including wonderful films for big drive-in draws back in the day.
Yeah. Back when we'd cram 7 people in the trunk of the Rambler and only pay admission for 1 or 2.
Yep, those were the days, Mr. Keynes. Something about that drive-in experience that, you know, sort of flavored the cinematic experience.
Yeah, along with cheap beer, cheaper wine, and of course, your personal drug of choice.
All of which either enhanced or compromised your viewing pleasure.
Oh, definitely more the latter than the former.
I have no doubt. With that, we'll call it a show, friends, but let us first thank our contributors, Mr. 42nd Street Pete, for all the goopy, grainy goodness of his Grindhouse Minute, and to Leslie Jane for highly adept gammy wrangling, and to the very lovely Mago Weston for her truly spectacular vocal pronouncements. Thanks, as usual, to the prophet of the parametric, Milt Keynes, for his terrific technical assistance and co-producerficationness, miss.
Always a pleasure, man.
Thanks as well to Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine for their continued greasy, grimy goodwill. Find out all about them, friends, at 42ndStreetPete.net. And, of course, thanks to all of you out there in the ether for once again pushing play on this wee bit of audio detritus. We do so appreciate that.
Yeah, hell, we'd still be playing in traffic if you hadn't come along.
I've been your tariff-free and freight-on-board host, Mark Rose, saying, until our next cartoon.
The Fusebox Show. It's hot as balls.
It sure is, Gammy. It sure is.